This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about studying emotions. A new generation of video games is making emotions a big part of the game by measuring and reacting to what players are feeling. Alan Yu has more.
Game creator Aaron Reynolds is drawn to scary things.
The horror genre is sort of in my DNA and my blood. As a kid, I always gravitated towards the horror movies, much to my parents' dismay.
About 10 years ago, when she was in graduate school, she made a video game called Nevermind. You play as a psychologist of the future who goes into the memories of people who have experienced a deeply traumatic event that haunts them. But they cannot remember the traumatic event, so you have to figure it out by navigating their minds.
You are about to proceed through a highly dangerous area that you must face alone.
You solve puzzles in increasingly creepy and disturbing environments, like a dark forest where you turn around and see baby doll heads falling from the sky, or a circular room made up entirely of human faces that stare at you with huge gaping mouths. I played the game for a while to get a better sense of it. At one point, I was in an underground room.
Count your blessings, written in red paint. That's, I'm sure, supposed to look like blood. These glass bottles on the floor. Looks like there are three dead rats.
Nevermind was one of the first games you can play wearing a heart rate monitor. If you get scared or stressed or anxious, the game will know.
The game will pick up on that and respond by becoming mostly environmentally difficult. So you might have things where like the floor will flood with milk, which I promise makes sense in the context of the level, you know, where and the more stress you get, the more it floods and makes you walk slower, makes it harder to see what's going on. If you stay too stressed for too long, the milk will actually rise above your head and drown you as a player.
So the player has to stay calm to try to control their emotional response to what's happening. Aaron realized that in a roundabout way, this could help players deal with their stress or anxiety, just as the game Dance Dance Revolution kind of tricked her into exercising.
I like to call it a stress management tool disguised as a video game. We've gotten many emails from people who played the game and reached out to say that they've recognized themselves in some of the characters and they're going back to therapy.
Aaron made Nevermind as entertainment. She did not intend to make something therapeutic. But there are scientists interested in the way Nevermind works, that a game could respond to how a player is feeling and in turn teach the player to get a handle on their emotions. Behavioral scientist Joannika Wiertmeister loves video games and admires Nevermind. For her PhD in psychology, she studied a game that started as an art installation. This game is called Deep. The way I think about it is a virtual reality jellyfish simulator.
When you put it on, you have the VR headset, you put that on, you're completely immersed in this 360-degree underwater fantasy world. It has some fish floating around, it's very nice and calming, it has nice and calming music. But instead of controlling your forward movement in the game with a controller or with a keyboard, you have a belt that you wear around your diaphragm.
In this case, you move through this underwater world by breathing, which the belt measures. Deep, calming breaths move you forward. Short, narrow breaths leave you stranded. So understanding and controlling the body's response, which is called biofeedback, is integral to playing the game. Joannika wanted to know if this game can actually help people feel less anxious by teaching them how to take deep calming breaths through their diaphragm. She broke people up into two groups. One group played Deep. The other learned breathing techniques using a guided breathing app. Both helped people with anxiety, but the game had an extra benefit.
But the thing that stood out in the Deep group was that only players that played Deep showed an increase in this feeling of self-efficacy, so this feeling of that they were competent enough. And it also showed an increase in their perceived ability to cope with stressful situations.
One key difference between the game and a guided breathing app is that the game shows a player when they have mastered a skill. This sense of success leads to self-efficacy. She is still working with the development team on this and other games. Using video games as a way to teach emotional control is already something that doctors at Boston Children's Hospital are doing. Psychiatrist Joseph Gonzalez-Heydrich treats children with severe anger problems. Years ago, he wanted to see if there was something else he could do to help them, because medications have side effects and therapy is boring, or so his young patients tell him. There are techniques to control anger, like deep breathing, but learning them from a psychiatrist is not usually what a kid wants to do.
So I'm sitting in my office thinking, if I could only get this kid to just practice trying these techniques, it could be really make a difference in their lives, and I wouldn't have to rely so heavily on the medications.
So video games could be a welcome tool to teach kids some new techniques. He himself has not played games since the arcade era of Pac-Man and Space Invaders, and he does not know anything about creating video games. He got a lucky break, though. His research assistant is good at programming, so Joe asked him to make something like Space Invaders, where the player has to shoot asteroids and avoid friendly ships. But he added a twist. The player measures their heart rate with a wristband while playing. If their heart rate goes up, then their ship will only shoot blanks.
Kids really picked up on this very quickly. We thought that it was going to take a long time to remodel the brain, all this. They were very quickly lowering their heart rate in the game to be able to score points.
So again, control your emotional response or game over. Joe and his team did a few trials with young patients, between the ages of 10 and 17, who played the game for a few minutes for several rounds. The researchers found the game did help the children control their anger, and the benefits seemed to carry over into other situations beyond the game. Now they are running a larger trial with 200 patients. So where could the use of video games in managing emotions go? Kelly Dunlap is a clinical psychologist, a game designer, and a parent. She has tried some of these games with young children, and she says it works.
It's really, really cool to see someone playing a game and all of a sudden they're noticing their screen is getting red or it's getting harder to play. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I need to check in with myself. And I need to remind myself to calm down. Like, that's such a difficult thing to teach.
But she says there are a few problems for any kind of game designed to help people with their mental health. Even though these games are more fun than therapy, it is still hard to get a child to spend the amount of time they need to get the full benefit.
It's cool and novel for about a day or two, but because the games they use are like small mobile games, most of the time kids get bored with them and then walk away. Even if we can get attention, it is hard to maintain attention and engagement because what we're asking them to do is practice skills that we want them to practice, but it's not always in the most fun or playful way.
Another issue is that the equipment is expensive. Not everyone can afford virtual reality headsets. But she says she hopes the technology and the games will get better, because it is another way to help people improve their mental health. And for all the gamers out there, a new way to personalize games and make them unique to the player could also just make video games in general more interesting.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.